Amen. Sometimes you wonder, Lord, what is going on? Well, don't lose heart. God's working. He knows what he's doing. Praise the name of the Lord. And he has a plan that's bigger than you can even imagine as you put your trust in the Lord today. Praise God. We're going to look in Scripture today at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, last year there was a terrible flood that took place down in the Houston area. And the floods became much more dangerous than people even expected. What was so sad was that there were many people that were so devastated, even lives that were lost and that needlessly were lost. There were warnings that had been sent out telling them to evacuate, but they did not. Many of them did not. They said things like, well, we've lived here all these many years. There's never been a flood that's affected our area. It's never been that dangerous ever before. We've lived here 25 years, 30 years. We've never experienced anything that was that dangerous. This flood was different, and this storm affected thousands and thousands and thousands of people who did not heed a warning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a warning. It's a warning. It's an apostolic warning that is given by the Apostle Paul to the church. And so we need to take heed to warnings that are given to us. Amen. 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So this is a warning about a season that was going to come in the last days. This is something that you can expect that will happen in the last days. I think most Bible readers, most Christians, you realize that we are in the last days. We are living in that season that the Apostle Paul is describing here in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so he says it's perilous times or dangerous time. Actually, the word here for dangerous is a word that means dangerous, savage, or hard to deal with. It's the same word that's used to describe the demoniac in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 8. The exact same word to describe that demoniac who was held and could not be controlled, who lived in the tombs, cried and cut himself and was so miserable because he was controlled by demonic spirits. That's the same type of influence that the Apostle Paul is describing when he says the last days will be characterized by a season that will be demonically influenced. Perilous times, dangerous times. And then there is this list of 18 different descriptions or characteristics of people, what would be going on in the mindset, in the lives of people in the last days. And when you read the list, you think, my, that's a terrible group of people. I'm sure I don't know any of those people. Or I don't want to hang around with any of those people. But it says here in the verse 5 that this is a religious group of people. It says that they have a form of godliness. So it's a religious group of people. It's people that are in a religious mindset or maybe in a church. And that would be going on. It's hard for us to even conceive that could be true, that it could be going on. But the warning is, that's something, and these characteristics may try to creep into the heart of a Christian. May try to creep into the body of Christ, into the hearts of the church. And that sounds like a very serious and a dangerous thing to me. I won't go through all of the various different characteristics, but I just want you to note something about them. There's like 18 different ones that are listed here. And they're all, when you look at it very closely, you'll see that they're all motivated by selfishness, self-centeredness, self-motivation, a love of self. It's really all that is. It is the whole basis of all of the things that you read here. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. A covetous person just wants everything for himself. Boasters. They just brag and promote self. And as you read down the list, you can see that the real problem is that their heart is not right, and they are focused upon themselves and their own desires, their own wants, their own needs. It's a religion that rejects the truth of God's word, places self on the throne instead of Jesus on the throne. It's a religion of people who say, I want to do things my way and live my way and not pay attention to the word of the Lord. So we need to be warned that that selfishness, that self-centered spirit can get a hold of our hearts and cause us to respond with these various things in our own lives. But today, I don't want to give all the attention to that, because I want to talk to you about a return to power. You notice that the scripture says that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. So there is this formality, there is this structure, there is this seemingly religious system, but something missing. There's a quality that's missing, and that quality is the move of God, the supernatural, the power of God. And oh, how desperately that we should be praying, and I am praying, and I trust that you are praying also, that God would send His power into our lives and into our church, into our services, into our ministry, that we would experience His divine power among us. Amen. I know we're familiar with Ezekiel 37. That's the vision of Ezekiel when he was taken to a valley that was filled with dry, dead bones. This was formerly an army that was strong and powerful and mighty. But now they're laying dried out in the sun, and there's no life there at all. The structure is there. The form is there. I mean, the bones are there. And then it says that as he prophesied to them that the sinews, the muscles, it all begins to come together. There's the form that's there. And all too often, this was the case in this religious system that he's warning us about in these last days, is that there is the form, there is the structure, there is all the things that are similar to a religious system or to a church body, but something that's missing, something that is the quality that we must have if we're to really be the church of the New Testament, if we're to be a Book of Acts church, if we're to be a true Pentecostal church, then there has to be something. I've had many people who have spoken to me about, well, I went here, or I went there, or I visited there, and I don't know, there's just something that seems to be missing. I pray, oh God, that no one would ever come to First Pentecostal Church and say, there's just something missing there in that church. I just pray, God, let it never be so, that there be a freshness and a voice of God and a move of the Spirit of God and a working of the Spirit of God among us, that there would be life and reality to what is going on right here in the house of the Lord. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. They had a form but no force. They had a religion but no reality to it. There's something missing, and it is the power of God. So we must return to our absolute dependence upon the move of God and the power of God in our lives, in our church. And I believe that you recognize that and you realize with me that there has to be this quality, this wonderful blessing that has been provided for the people of God and for the church. It's what sets us apart, and it makes us truly the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because there's life and there's power. Last weekend, Brother Burkett turned to the text in Titus chapter 2 and described two areas that we'll talk about here, and then we'll talk about the third area. The first I want to talk about is saving power, and then I want to talk about overcoming power, and then thirdly I want to talk about supernatural power here this morning. The scripture in Titus chapter 2 that Brother Burkett read from was, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." For you see, grace is very limited whenever we describe grace as just an unmerited favor given to us. Even just to describe it as a gift without giving a further understanding of what the grace of God is, it's only a part of the grace of God. There's a great deal, I think, of misunderstanding about grace and what grace really is. Grace is power. Grace is power from God. Grace is ability that comes from the Lord. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. That grace, that power is saving power. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the day that you heard the gospel, you reached out in faith. Some of you knelt here in this very altar. Others of you, some other place, maybe not in a church, or maybe it was in your home, or wherever you were, you made an altar. You bowed your heart before the Lord, and you called upon the Lord. You repented of your sins. You confessed your sins. You put your faith in Jesus, and something supernatural took place in your life. You see, this is a born-again experience. This is a born-again reality. The saving power of God is that Jesus comes to transform lives and to bring people into that place that they can experience the power of God, the grace of God in their life. This grace of God brings salvation to everyone, whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord. You see, the power of God, the Spirit of God, draws men. The Spirit of God woos men. The power of God convicts men. The power of God speaks to the hearts of men and then transforms them and empowers them to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I long to see the saving power of God at work among us. I long to see people bow their hearts before the Lord and come before God in the altars and cry out to God and become truly born again and changed by the power of the Spirit of God. We have to have more than just a mental agreement or a mental assent. We need more than just shaking someone's hand, more than just coming and being in the congregation. There has to be something supernatural that takes place in your life. That is a reality that makes the form of religion become a reality in your life. The power of God's grace changes you and transforms you and brings you into right relationship with Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So we come to the Lord Jesus. He changes us. And I long for the saving power, for the real life, for the born again experience, for the transformation, for the conversion experience, for people who testify to the fact, "I was this. I was bound in this sin. I once lived my life this way, but now I'm free from all of that and I've got a new life. And that new life is in Jesus Christ. I am changed transformed. I am made new. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, would you fill our altars with people? I mean, there's no lack for people that need the Lord. They're all around us by the hundreds and thousands. Everywhere you look, you see people lost and in need of God, desperately that need to be saved. But what we need is a place, a sanctuary, where the presence of God is real, where the Spirit of God is working, where the convicting work of the Spirit of God is at work. And there is salvation power, saving power that is real in this place, that the unsaved will come and they will hear. There's hope for me. There's a way out of my lifestyle. There's a way out of all of my bondages. There's a way that I can be set free and I can have a new life in Jesus Christ. We need to be known as a place where people can find Jesus in the reality of real conversion. Hallelujah. Amen. Saving power. Saving power. The power of God that changes people's lives. And oh, I long for that and I pray for that. And I ask God to stir the hearts of the church and to believe that the Lord will begin to save many and bring many into the kingdom of God because of saving power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But this grace of God, as Brother Burke's message illustrated, and he dealt with more of this second verse, and he used the example of the power of the word no and how important it is to say no to many of these things that are of this world and of this life. But the same grace that brings salvation in verse 12, it also has a power to teach, to instruct, to equip us to live a life that is above the world. It's an overcoming power. It is a power that helps us to be able to live above the influences of this world, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly or seriously, righteously and godly in this present world. I just think that we have kind of come to the place that we're thinking, well, I guess, you know, it's just the time that we're living in. This is just the way it's going to be. People are just a different idea, a different generation. People are going to go after more and accept more of the things of this world and love the things of the world. Oh, we must be warned. Please be warned that as we take on the things of the world, we diminish the power of God in our life. When we take in and we love this world, we destroy our relationship with God. God has promised to us overcoming power. Power to overcome the pull and the tug of this world. Power to overcome the influence and the voice of this world that says, oh, it's okay, come along, we can go this way, it really doesn't matter, these are new times, this is a new generation, everything is different now. Oh, be warned this morning, be warned, because there is a voice of the Spirit of God today that wants to remind us that God will bless those that are pure in heart. God will bless those who turn away from the voice of the world and listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of the Spirit of God and allow God to lead us in the way that He wants us to go. The Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. As you love the things of this world, you break that relationship with God. They can't coexist. They are oil and water. It's impossible for the things of this world and the things of God to coexist. As you take in and begin to develop more of a love for the things of this world and make excuses for the things of this world, you're going to find yourself losing out in your fellowship with God, your closeness with the Lord. I believe that we can have overcoming power. Yes, even in this age, 2018, I believe the Pentecostal church can still be set apart from the world. We can still be a people that are distinct. We can still be a people who have a testimony that we love God and we do not love the world. We can't develop
an affinity for the world or the things, the system, the world's system, the ways of this world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can't coexist. It just doesn't happen. Whenever a person begins to love and to follow and take in things of this world, you can see their walk with God changes. You can see their love for the things of God, the house of God, the work of God. It begins to change. Their love for the Word of God, for the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, their love for fellowship with the people of God, it can't coexist. As you begin to love the things of this world and take them into your heart, then the Spirit of God begins to withdraw. It begins to move away from us. We can't afford for that to happen. These are hours. These are days that we desperately need the move of God. We desperately need the moving of the Spirit of God among us. So we need to be able to overcome. And He's given us the power. This grace that brings us to Christ in salvation is the same grace that gives us the ability to overcome the world. Yes. Hallelujah. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away. All these things of this world that have caught your attention, that are drawing you away from the things of God, all of these things, they are temporary. They're passing away. Build your life on things that are eternal. Build your life on things that are going to last, not on the things that are passing away in this world. For the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. This power is an overcoming power. You can say no to the enemy. You can say no to the lies of the enemy, to the temptations of this world, to those things that want to draw you in and take you in. You can say no by the grace of God. Amen. And you can do that which pleases the Lord. Of course, we need to turn our eyes upon the Lord. We need to get our eyes fixed upon the Lord. So many distractions that are around us. Everywhere we look, there are things that are distract us from the things of God, from the presence of God, the Spirit of God. Oh, we must long for His presence. We must long for His Spirit to be in it. But if we become worldly in mind and heart, then the Holy Spirit will be grieved. We'll quench the Spirit of God. And we won't be able to experience the blessing of God working and moving among us. Don't allow your heart to follow after the things of this world. Amen. Turn your eyes upon the Lord. In the Word, Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If your focus is upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He will empower you to overcome the world and all of the temptations and all of the lies of this world. Now, this is a warning from the apostle. He's saying, if you allow yourself to be placed on the throne of your life, then all of these characteristics that are listed here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, then you're going to be so vulnerable. You're going to fall into a self-life that is after what I want, after what I need, after what pleases me. Everything is about me and what I think is good and important, you'll lose your sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit. You'll lose your ability to honor God and to follow the Lord. Overcoming power is available for every one of us here today. You may just have to say no this morning again. If you said it last week, you probably need to say it again. No, no. Too much things of this world. You spend much time out there in the world and the dust and all the things, you get contaminated by all the philosophy and the thinking of this world. So you can come into the house of God, or you can go into your closet and pray and shut out the world and get alone with the Lord and allow all of these things to no longer be important to you. When you turn your eyes upon Jesus, as the chorus says, when you look full in His wonderful face, then the things of this world, they grow strangely dim. Amen. In the light of His glory and grace. Nothing can compare with a real relationship with Jesus. Nothing.
all the bright lights, all the attraction, all of the loves for the things of this world, none of them will be able to compare with the glory of a life that is consecrated and dedicated and is willing to sacrifice and willing to give of yourself to serve the Lord and be an overcomer in these days. We need saving power. We need overcoming power. And thirdly, we need supernatural power in our lives, in our church, in our ministry. We need supernatural power. He has provided to the church the gift of the Holy Spirit. He has given to us this wonderful gift that it is not just something that's a nice accessory to add to who we are as Christians. No. The Spirit of God, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost is supernatural power. Yes. And as I said, that all these things, the perilous times that we're living in, are characterized by a demonic influence. We're up against the spirit of this age that's motivated by the demons of hell. And the warning of the Apostle Paul is, it's all just a form. It's all just a form. It's motivated by self, self, self. And what's important to me and what I think is important, and me on the throne and me living to please my own self. That's a dangerous and a demonic spirit that the Apostle Paul is warning us about in these last days. The only way we can counter it is by supernatural power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Supernatural power. Power that would cause us to be able. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon. Then you will be witnesses unto me. And that power to witness, that is a key verse there in the first part of the book of Acts, reminding us that we have been endued with a power from on high and ability to speak and to give witness to Jesus Christ. A power that has been given to us supernaturally to speak to a world that desperately needs to know Jesus, a supernatural power. We are a Pentecostal church in name, hopefully not only in name, not only in title, but we are truly Pentecostal in our doctrine, in what the Bible says in the book of Acts, that we are a Pentecostal church because we believe that God works today supernaturally among his people and in the church. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe in miracles. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, faith and healing, and tongues and interpretation and prophecies. We believe in discerning of spirits and words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We believe in the supernatural gifts that God has given to the church. All of these gifts have been provided for us to accomplish in the body what we cannot accomplish on our own. And so we need to take advantage of this and ask the Lord, Lord, give to me, Lord, the best gifts. Use me, Lord, and help me to be equipped and supernaturally empowered with the gifts of the Spirit. This supernatural power has been given to the church because the world is watching. The world is searching. They're looking. And they're drawn into many religious systems today because of their claims to miracles and to signs and wonders. Many cults experience that. Much of that goes on in Hinduism. It goes on in Buddhism. That they have signs and wonders. And people are drawn to many of those things. But there is a biblical move of the Spirit. A supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. That equips the church to be what God's called us to be in these last days. You hear people say things like, oh, times are just so bad today. Things are so much worse than they were 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 50 years ago. Do you understand with me this morning that the supernatural power of God is still sufficient for the day? Whatever is going on, whatever is opposing you, whatever is opposing the church and the work of God, the supernatural power of God is available. Amen. So there needs to be signs and wonders, miracles, healings, faith, a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. People will see that and they'll wonder and they'll long for that. And they'll see the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. Glory be to God.
Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. There's many, way too many verses in the New Testament. I could read to you dozens of verses that confirm again and again and again and again that these gifts have not been set aside. These were not just for the days of the apostles. These gifts were provided to the New Testament church, and we are a part of that New Testament church. It has not run out. God has not run out of power. He has not run out of ability to minister and to move through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give to us supernatural power. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. A form. In Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel prophesied. He prophesied, and then the muscles, the sinews came upon those bones. And they came all. There was a loud shaking and a loud noise as the bones all came together in the right positions and places. Now they're just a dead form laying out there in the desert. And still a dead army. Still an army that can't do one thing. But the scripture says in Ezekiel 37, telling him that there's no breath in them. There's no life in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came unto them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now I know that that was a prophecy related to Israel and their condition that they were in. But all of these many years later, generations later, it's also a prophecy concerning the last day church. Yes. It speaks to you and me as a church of potential. We have the form. You know, we have it together. We have things, you know, we have the organization. We have the order. We have the form. Something's missing. There's no life there. There's no spirit there. There's no breath there. There's no supernatural element in the body of Christ. And so he said, prophesy and call for the four winds, yes, that it may breathe upon them, just like it did in the upper room. The breath of God breathed upon them, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave to them the utterance. And there was a transforming power that took place that day, where a guy named Peter, who failed after failed after failure after failure. But that day he stands up with a new zeal and a new power. It's a supernatural power. And he preaches to them that day on the day of Pentecost. And the people's hearts are stricken. They are cut. They are pierced. The Spirit of God has spoken to them. And they are convicted. And 3,000 souls throw themselves before the Lord and call upon the Lord and are saved and born again by the Spirit of God. Yes. Hallelujah. From that day forward, the book of Acts is a supernatural work, a supernatural move among the church and the body of Christ. It's a wonderful testimony to the power of God. When did that end? When did that stop? Why is it not happening now among us? I know that the promise is to you.
Yes.
It's to your children. Amen. It's to all those that are afar off. That's you and I who live all these many, many generations later. It's all them that are afar off. Every one of them will call upon the name of the Lord. This is the gift of the Spirit of God and the power of God. Amen. Our church must be characterized. It must be distinguished by a church that has power in our lives. Power in our altars, power in the pulpit, power in what we're doing in our ministry, power in the effort that we're putting forth, that there's a supernatural work and a move of God. So we must return to this. We must heed the warning of the apostle concerning these last days. Don't be taken in by a selfish religion, a selfish doctrine, a selfish philosophy. But understand, when you put Jesus on the throne and you put him as the center of your life, that's the life that will be blessed
That's the life that can be changed and transformed and empowered by the Spirit of God. And you can be what God has asked you to be. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. All across this building. Amen. Would you just lift your hands with me this morning and join with me in asking the Lord. Lord, help us at First Pentecostal Church. Lord, to return to the power of God once again. To return, Lord, to the supernatural. To return, Lord, to the manifestation of your grace and a demonstration of your power in our lives to bring folks to salvation, to cause us to overcome the world, and to cause us, Lord, to work and to demonstrate your mighty power among us. Hallelujah. Lord, stir in us a desire. Stir in us, Lord, a desire and a hunger for the things of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.